أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. إن الحمد لله نستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أفضل الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين لله شهداء بالقسط، ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا، اعدلوا وأقرب للتقوى، واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. These verses are from Surah Al-Ma'idah, and today I want to talk about this and a very similar verse from Surah An-Nisa. Although in the first instance the two appear to be almost repeating the same meaning, when we start to look at them in a bit of depth, we'll find out that it's not really. And there's a fine difference between the two, which defines what we want to talk about here. And this is a continuation along the same theme that we have started since Eid, prayer of the Eid, which is a deeper understanding of the concept of ibadah and how it is that Allah tells us ما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون, and what is the meaning of this and how it can be applied. So in this verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the translation is, believers, be upright bearers of witness for Allah, and do not let the enmity of any people move you to deviate from justice. Act justly, that is closer to God fearing, and fear Allah. Surely Allah is well aware of what you do. The second verse is from Surah An-Nisa, which again says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين إن يكن غنيا أو فقيرا فالله أولى بهما فلا تتبعوا الهوى أن تعدلوا وإن تلووا أو تعرضوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا. This verse roughly translated says, believers, again both verses start with يا أيها الذين آمنوا, and we've discussed this before. We are believers, inshallah, or at least we'd like to think we are. And so if Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, it's immediately talking to me and to you and to each and every one of us. The response should be, Yes, Allah, you are talking to me. What is it that you want of me? So again, it says, starts with, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, be upholders of justice and bearers of witness to truth for the sake of Allah, even if it is against yourselves or your parents and kinsmen, whatever it is, rich or poor, for Allah is more concerned with their well-being than you. Do not let following your own desires keep you away from justice. If you twist or turn away from the truth, know that Allah is well aware of what all that you do. So we're just going to try and go a little bit in depth in each of these ayat, although as I said initially they might sound like they are very similar. There are some similarities, but in actual fact the meaning is slightly different and the orders we are getting from them are slightly different as well. So let's take the first ayah from Surah Al-Ma'idah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So as we agreed, Allah is now saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. He's talking to each and every one of us. If you are not really a believer, What are you doing here? So Allah is talking to you and to me. Now, yes Allah, what is it that you want from us? Kunu qawwamina lillah. Be a pride bearers of witness for Allah. What is the meaning of qawwamina lillah? How can you be an upright witness to Allah? Now, what the scholars have explained to us is it means that you are, you know, remember that you are dealing with Allah in whatever you do in life. So you are not dealing with people. Don't deal with people. Deal with Allah. On the surface it will appear that you are dealing with people, but inside you know that you are actually dealing with Allah, not with people. And just to explain it a bit more, I'm sure that each and every one of us has got an experience where they said, you know, I did so and so, I did so such good things to this person, and look how he paid me back. Now, to avoid this, you should not do anything to a person. Whatever you do, although the action is for a human being, but in actual fact, you should address it to Allah. Now, if you did that to Allah, you will be rewarded whatever the outcome is. And you will not be disappointed because you're not expecting a reward or a thank from a person. You're expecting it from Allah. So it is a very fine meaning which is of great implications in our lives if we actually learn how to apply it. So qawwamina lillah means that we are going to be dealing with Allah in everything we do in our dealings with other human beings. So whatever you do for Allah's sake, remember that even if you don't get rewarded in this world, you get it in the hereafter, and vice versa. So whatever you do, it's a win-win. I might be doing you a favor, and you might be grateful for me, but I'm actually not doing it for you. I'm doing it for Allah's sake. So whether you are grateful or not, I mean, most likely, most decent human beings will be grateful and they probably try to reward you or thank you, but it doesn't really matter. Because Allah will reward me and will thank me and will give me my reward in this world and in the hereafter. Which means that whatever I do, it's a winning situation. And if you don't believe that, remember in the Quran, it says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرًا مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. Allah never wastes. Allah always rewards whoever does good. So Allah promises, and whenever Allah promises, He will fulfill His promise. So any good deed that you will do, you will be rewarded for. So whatever you've done, you have to be absolutely sure that you are going to be rewarded. As a matter of fact, you're already rewarded, because in Allah's terms, there is no time. So in everything we do in our life, we need to remember that Allah is the ever-seeing and ever-watching. So, just for bringing the meaning a bit closer, imagine that you were in a place where you know that there were cameras watching you. Imagine that you went for an interview and you were tipped that the interviewers have got built-in cameras that are watching you because they want to see how you will behave. And then they will, depending on your behavior while you're being watched, you will either get the job or not. It is exactly the same thing in life. Allah is watching us all the time, every minute, every second of our life. If we can always remember that, we are continuously being watched by Allah. Everything we do is being recorded. So whatever we do it for the sake of Allah. And this is the meaning of qawwamina lillah. And it's interesting here that, again, in the language it said qawwamina, not qa'imina. Qawwamina is a sighat mubalagha. It means it's an exaggeration. It means that you have to have this attitude continuously, all the time. Not just occasionally when you think about it, when you remember it. Qawwamina means all the time. So do not waste your energy by actions not directed to Allah. Any action you do, direct it to Allah. Now, if you are directing your action to Allah, then of course you must try to perfect it. Remember the example I gave you. If you are waiting in a room, waiting for an interview because you're applying for a job, you know the camera is watching you, you're going to try and do everything perfectly. So Allah's camera is watching us all the time. So whatever we do, two things. Direct it towards Allah, and the second thing, try to perfect it. Try to make it as perfect as you can. Then it goes on to say, Shuhada'a bil-qist. And Shuhada'a bil-qist means everything, you have to be just in all what you do. Justice is a basic principle of Islam. Justice and fairness is a main thing in our theme, in our lives. If you're a Muslim, you must be fair and just. So, if we are just, then when we are qawwamina bil-qist, when we do the thing for the sake of Allah, He will reward us. But if we are just in all what we do, if we seek justice and we seek fairness, this is going to reflect on the society around us. So if everybody is just, everybody is fair, everybody is honest, then the society is going to benefit from all of us. We should be the lanterns as Muslims. We should be the lanterns for justice in this world. We should be the lanterns of fairness from this world. We should set an example to other people. What is the meaning of being just? What's the meaning of being honest? And what's the meaning of being fair? Not because you are watched by other people, not because you expect to gain anything from other people, but because Allah has ordered us to do that. And this is the real meaning of Shuhada'a bil-qist. So it's an order from Allah, as a matter of fact, if we understand the meaning. So the next verse is qa'imina lillah. So shuhada'a bil-qist qa'imina lillah. We are standing up for Allah's sake. We are the servants of Allah. We are the slaves of Allah. Whatever we are doing it for His sake. And we are doing it according to His specifications, not to ours. And according to what pleases Him, not what pleases us. And this is going to benefit us, and it's going to benefit the society around us. Then it goes on to say, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنَ قَوْمٍ أَن تَعْدِلُوا. So even if you hate this person, if you hate the person you are dealing with, this should not be an excuse for not being fair and just. This is the, you know, this is how it really is. Don't let the whims of yourself, don't let your own feelings interfere with the sense of justice. Just because I don't like somebody, just because I hate somebody, just because somebody harmed me, it does not mean that I should be unjust or unfair. And this is, again, very clear instruction here that's given in the ayah. No ambiguity about it. So, do not let your nafs, do not let your feelings, do not let your whims, your weaknesses interfere with your judgments. Do not let it deviate from justice. In the Quran it says, Inna arsalnaka bilhaq lituhkuma bayna an-nas. We have sent you with the truth so that you are a judge amongst people. That's what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do you do that? Bima araka Allah, with what Allah has shown you. Wala takun lil kha'inina khaseeman. And even if somebody is betraying you, even if somebody is being unjust, even if somebody is being dishonest, it doesn't mean that you are not just, you don't treat them in the same way. So you can't say, oh, by the way, this person is dishonest, he stole my money, I'm going to steal his money back. No, you don't do that. Because the instructions are quite clear. Inna arsalnaka bilhaqqi litahkuma bayna an-nas bima araka Allah, with what Allah has shown you, with the rules and the regulations, with the standards that Allah has set. So to be fair and just, even when your enemy, even with your enemy, this is the best form of da'wah you can do to Allah. There's a story of Prophet Ibrahim where a guest came to him and he asked him, you know, what are your beliefs? He said, I don't believe in anything. There's no such thing as God. I don't believe in Allah. I don't believe in all this rubbish. So Prophet Ibrahim did not invite him. He just let him go. And after he went, Allah then blamed him. He said, how come you can do that? You have let your whims, because this man is an enemy to me, to Allah, you've allowed yourself to go beyond the rules. The rules are you should be generous to your guests. So Prophet Ibrahim then went after this man and said, I'm sorry, please come back. And he invited him to sit, to stay in his house and offered him a meal. And he said, you know, why did you act this way? He said, because when I sent you away, Allah blamed me for doing that. So I corrected myself and invited you back. And the man said, you know, if there is such a God who is so fair that he is even fair to his enemies, this must be the just God. And the man then turned to Islam. So it's just a story that we are told. And this is how you can be a da'iyah for Islam. Da'wah doesn't mean going around forcing people, doesn't mean going around frightening people, doesn't mean going around harassing people. We should be a da'iyah by example, by showing them what does the Islam, how it reflects on our behavior, how Islam reflects on our attitudes in society. Now very quickly, if we move on to the second ayah, and I don't think we'll have enough time to go through it all, but generally speaking, the second ayah goes, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, again the same thing, O you who believe, so yes Allah, what is it? What are the orders here? And on this occasion it says, Kunu qawwamina bil qist shuhada'a lillah. So on this occasion it appears to be slightly reversed. So it is an order to be just and then to be a witness to Allah. In the first ayah it was to be a witness to Allah, qawwamina lillah shuhada'a bil qist. So what does it mean to be qawwamina bil qist shuhada'a lillah? Now this sets a very, very important principle that we must understand, because it's crucial for our day-to-day life and for our behavior. It is not enough to be fair and just only, because there are a lot of disbelievers, there are a lot of people who don't believe in Allah, and they are fair and they are just. They have good manners, they have good standards. That's fine, Allah will reward them in this world, but not in the hereafter. For us, it is not enough. So, it is not enough to be fair, and it's not enough to be just. You have to be doing that for Allah's sake. You have to be doing that because Allah has ordered you to do that, not just because you feel that this is the right thing to do. So, we will be rewarded both in this world and the hereafter if we do it this way. And as I said, you will look around, you see a lot of disbelievers, a lot of people who don't, you know, atheists, who are still very well behaved. They have a sense of fairness, they have a sense of fair play, but they're not doing it for the sake of Allah. So they will be rewarded for what they have done it for, but when they come to the hereafter, they will find that all their deeds have been blown away like ashes. So on the day of judgment, they have come with a lot of good deeds, but they will be blown away like ashes get blown away. So this is not what we want. We want to be rewarded for our deeds here, and we want to find our deeds in the hereafter when we go there, inshallah. More importantly, then the ayah goes on to show us how crucial it is and what's the level of fairness and honesty that we have to have. It says, وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, even if it's going to go against you or your parents. So it's not God saying, you know, look, if I do that, I might fall into harm. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Even if it's going to be harmful to you, even if it's going to be harmful to your parents, the sense of fairness should be abided by. We should always be fair and honest, even if it means it's going to go against your or apparently your parents' good. And then it goes on to indicate, إِنْ يَكُنْ غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَخِيرًا فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا. Because it can work in reverse. For example, you might find that there is a disagreement between two parties. One of them is strong and rich and the other one is poor. And you say, you know, look, because this person is poor and weak, I'm going to stand by him. No, you should not do that. You should stand by what is right. You should stand by justice. Because it says, فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا. You are not going to give this poor person. Allah is the giver to this poor person. You are ordered to be fair. You are ordered to be just, even if it's against you. You are ordered to get yourself, your nafs out of it completely and do what Allah, use the standards that Allah gave you. Whether this person is weak, strong, whether this person or rich or poor, don't let your emotions judge your actions. Your actions should be all within the limits that Allah has set for us. So in تَلْوَ أَوْ تُعْرُضُوا فَاللَّهُ بِمَا كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا. Whatever you do, whether it's near or far, Allah is aware of all your doings. Now, as I said, we won't have time to go into great detail here, so I just want to sum up the important points here. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. Allah is aware of all what you do, all your actions. And it's important here to understand what is the definition of actions as it is shown in this ayah. Actions can be one of three things. It can be قَوْلٌ بِاللِّسَانِ, it can be something that you say, or فَعْلٌ بِالْجَوَارِحِ, or something that you physically do, or even نِيَّ بِالْقَلْبِ, or something that you have in your heart. So all these are covered by this ayah when it talks about actions. So whether it's something that you say, you must be just, you must be fair with everything that you say, you must be just, you must be fair with everything that you do, but more importantly, you must not allow your heart, you must not allow your whims to interfere, because Allah knows what's going on in your heart. And this brings us again to the ayah that we alluded to before, where Allah says in Surah Al-An'am, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Say, surely my prayers, all my acts of worship, my life and my death are all for Allah alone, the Lord of the universe. He has no associates thus. So, whatever you do, remember that this is the theme that we are going along. We're just trying to get to grips together how to apply the principle of living and worshipping Allah every minute of our life. And this is, so just, this is one of the things. So if we can just take home a simple message today, all our actions, whether it be spoken, or whether it be physical actions, or whether it be thoughts, should be governed by what Allah has told us to do. We should stand against our whims, we should stand against our nafs, and we should always be honest and fair in all our dealings. And this is the theme of these two ayat that I'm trying to highlight today. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك الحق المبين وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. So we've now discussed very briefly the theoretical bit. Let's try to get into some practical examples on how to apply this in our day-to-day life. For example, if you are buying or selling or dealing with other people, how do you buy, how do you sell, how do you deal? You must stay within, you must stick to the rules that Allah has set for us. Honesty, you must, if you're selling something and there's something defective in it, you must show the defect. This is a rule that we have in Islam. You must not overprice things. You must, if you're buying the same thing, if you know that something is worth £100, don't go and say to the person, because he needs money, I'll buy it for £5. This is wrong. This is not the fairness that Allah tells us to do. Now, whether you're an employee or an employer, you must abide by the same things. If you are paid to do a certain job, you must do the job that you are paid for. You must not just try to get away with the least possible effort, because you're not doing the effort for your employer, you're doing it for the sake of Allah. And vice versa, if you're an employer, not just because the person needs the money, you're going to exploit them. We cannot exploit people, because Allah has put you in this position and He can reverse the role. So this is line of thinking. Now, same thing applies to parenthood and childhood, dealing with spouses, dealing with the husbands, dealing with the wives, so it can extend to every aspect of our lives. Right. So one of the other examples that we see a lot here is claiming benefits. You see that people who are not entitled to benefits go and claim the benefits unjustly. And the excuse they give, oh, this is the money of kuffar. This is not right. This is not what... Can you stand in front of Allah and tell Him that? Of course you can't. You know that. You know deep inside that you can't. So we must respect the rules and regulations of the place we live in. It is part of our religion that we should abide by the rules of the land. We've agreed to live in this land. We have signed the contract, an unwritten contract. By agreeing to live here, we agree to abide by the rules We agree to abide by the laws, so we should not break the law, not just because somebody is not watching. And we should not listen to people who tell you, oh, these are kuffar, it's all right, you can take the money. No, you cannot, because you're not taking their money, you are actually breaking Allah's rules, and Allah is going to bring you he's going to ask you about this on the Day of Judgment. And finally, don't worry about consequences. So for example, you find somebody who's in need of help, or it's time to pay your zakah, and you feel, hang on, if I pay it now, you know, I won't have enough money. I'm worried because, you know, things are getting more expensive, inflation, I'm not sure if I'm going to have a job. No, you do not worry about the consequences. Don't worry about your children, because this is going to be looked after by Allah. All your risk is written by Allah. All your risk is supplied by Allah. So don't let worry, don't let materialistic things, don't let worries about the future make you break the rules. We must not break the rules of Allah. So we need to remember that Allah is watching us all the time. Whether we're alone, whether we're with people, whatever we do, we are being watched by Allah all the time. Not in a way that He's spying on us, but in a way that He is making sure that we abide by His rules and regulations. Now finally, there is a long hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm just going to highlight two parts of the hadith, because really this highlights what we should be doing. It's one of the Sahaba went to the Prophet and said, you know, please give me advice. And the Prophet said, "Usiqa bi taqwa Allah, fa innaha ra'sa al-amr kullu." Taqwa. And we discussed before what's the meaning of taqwa. And the best way it can be described is, imagine you are walking in a pathway that's full of dirt and full of thorns. As you're walking through it, what are you going to do? You're going to be very careful, you're going to look, you're going to watch where you're going. And this is taqwa. That's the definition of taqwa in black, you know, in a simple way. As you're going through life, watch for the thorns and the dirt. And this is the rules that Allah has given us. Now, the hadith then goes on, قلت يا رسول الله زدني قال عليك بقراءة القرآن. And it keeps going and going about different advices. But then the final advice, when the Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah zidni, okay, give me some more advice, give me an important bit of advice. And he said, قل الحق وإن كان مرا. Always be truthful, always say the truth, even if it is sour. So the take home message is, we should be truthful, we should be fair, we should be just. This is an integral part of our religion, and these are orders of Allah that are given very, very eloquently and very straightforward into these two ayat. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'ah, wa arina al-batila batilan warzuqna ijtinabah. Allahumma akfina bihalalika an haramik, wa aghnina bifadlika an man siwak. Allahumma arhamna bitarki al-ma'asi abadan ma ahyaytana, wa arhamna bitarki ma la ya'nina, wa arzuqna husna nadri fima yurdika anna, wa alzim qulubana hifza kitabika kama allamtana. Allahumma ansur al-islam wa al-muslimin. Allahumma ansur al-islam wa al-muslimin. Allahumma ansur al-islam wa al-muslimin. Rabbana atina fi al-dunya hasana wa fi al-akhirati hasana wa qina عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. عباد الله, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم, استغفروا يغفر لكم, وأقم الصلاة. الحمد لله.